Well, how are you?
We'll go ahead and call to order our Board of Trustee work session for the North Davis Fire District. This is being held at Station 41 on Thursday, January 16th at 6 p.m. Those in attendance with us, over here we've got Mayor Wiggle, Jerry Chatterton, Megan Ratchford, myself, Brian Vincent, Nancy Smalling, Rick Carlson, Tim Roper, Ned Judd, and Mayor Shepherd is with us from Washington, D.C. Thank you for being with us. No bidge panning or badge pinning, either one.
However you want to do it, that's it.
I think we should call it that for now.
Yeah.
That made my day.
We're going to just skip right into, Chief has some things to share with us tonight.
So just in this work session, a couple things. Just wanted to make the board aware. So I've been, the legislative session is starting, and I sit on the board with the UASD, so I'll be going over every bit of legislation once a week through the session. And I actually did that today. There's not a whole bunch on districts, there's a couple things, but one thing that I did want the cities to be aware of, are you familiar with HB 80 last year that required you guys to disclose if you had a, what's the word I'm talking about? Conflict of interest.
I have notes.
We did it for the city.
I had some other fire chiefs reach out to me or whatever. The threshold on that is a $10 million budget, and if you're under that. But my city officials that have signed that would have worked for the district as well. But we don't fall into that. We don't need to participate in that. But that was just a gee whiz. I didn't know if we were behind the ball on that. The only other thing I'd like to talk about, I've been actually spending quite a bit of time in working with the chair on this annexation situation that the district faces this year. It's not a big rush. We have till December, but we have quite a few different moving parts, I should say. And I just wanted to explain to the board kind of what we're looking at and what we might be asking the board to do. This here depicts the map of the service area for the district. And I have the Mylar from when we annexed Sunset in. So this isn't the legal description. This is just a map that I had made to kind of give you an idea of what we need to do. This part of Clearfield Mida has already been annexed by the district. I think it was annexed back in 2012 or 14 or something like that. And that was just that Clearfield portion. Since we've taken Sunset, I've talked with, is it Mike Wagstaff?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Mike Wagstaff. And we're going to go ahead and annex the rest of Mida to the Weber County line. This is the Weber County line, mm-hmm. Which he didn't seem to think his board will do a resolution and present it to the board, and we can add that to the legal description. The thing that came in question is, for those of you that aren't with West Point annexed, is it 250 acres?
264.
264 acres down
exactly.
Here.
Point nine.
This is 4500 West, and Clinton annexed.
Not yet, but it's in their annexation plan.
Okay. That was a big deal last year, right?
Yeah, yes, it was.
Okay. Anyway, I'm not sure, Mayor, I'll have to get the legal description. I don't know if we have both sides of 4500 or not, but anyway, they annexed this portion here. Most of it's just farmland. There's some houses in there, right?
But yes.
Most of it's just farmland. Years ago, Clinton Fire, the county paid Clinton Fire pennies to cover this area before this station was even built. Well, with this, this future annexation, or whatever you call it, that West Point is supposed to one day annex the whole rest of this. But we were under the impression that that part of West Point automatically got annexed into the district because West Point annexed it, and that's not the case. We're working on some language in legislation this session to change that for emergency services, so that would happen actually all over the state, not just here. But in the meantime, we're having some discussions with the county, and we'll be meeting with them, and we're going to try and just annex that whole area, and then it'll just be in the district, and we won't have to worry about it. And then this little spot here, Mayor Vincent, I looked on our Mylar that we did with Sunset. That is not in the district.
Yep. It wasn't until just recently.
Yeah, so...
City.
That's where the new junior high is. But we don't really get... But we need to annex that into our area as well. Does that make sense to everybody?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I think the big question is, we want to know if we can just do one cleanup annexation and be done, or if we're going to have to do...
I think it's the government. I think it's going to take a minute.
Well, I know it's going to... We have till December. We're going to have to do the public noticing and all that, but I'm just saying...
Just do it at once and not do it in individual.
In chunks?
Yeah.
So that the future annexation is... Can you tell me why the border is where the border is? Does that... Because I don't know that knowledge.
What's that? I'm sorry.
Why the border where a future annexation is? Like, why is it in that weird Texas shape?
That's the Mylar, or the... That's the description. It's not the final legal description, but that's what Mike sent me.
Gotcha.
And the engineer at West Point, Boyd, actually did this for me. Yep. I said, I don't need the legal description. Just kind of put on a map so I can show them what I... I don't know where the high density would go. Scott, I don't know where the freeway is, for that matter, in that area.
Yeah, none of that matters anyways.
But, and I think it's, I mean, you guys probably know better than I do, it's a ways out, right? I mean, that's not, nothing's going to happen over there for a while, is it?
They've already started on the overpass at the top of 1800.
That is supposed to be done by 26.
So. And then in the spring, they've already told us that they're going to start doing the moving all of the public services like water, electricity on 1800 and start the 1800 project.
It's kind of like
in the spring.
I know they've been putting together a committee for it because they reached out to the Chamber of Commerce.
Do they? And I don't know this. I don't know what NIDA plans on doing with the property, if it's commercial or high density, or I don't know what they plan on doing.
The mayor might know.
Mixed use.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's supposed to be housing, all kinds of stuff there, actually.
Yeah, we'll just get ahead. I just want to get ahead of it, so it's all in place. And
I think, was you talking about the other parcel or the red one?
The red, no, the other parcel.
She was talking about the future annexation in West Point.
The purple one.
I applied what he said to that knowledge, though, too. So I imagine it was the same answer.
What's that?
That portion up there, why the, not the pink, but like the...
The red line?
Yeah.
The red line. County line.
That's
hypothetically the county line.
Okay.
I think...
We can't take over Weaver County.
I just wasn't sure.
What's that?
This is mostly BLM.
It is.
After that, so...
Okay.
Which is actually the only interface that we have in the district. But, yeah, and then I think Syracuse probably has some, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking with South Davis Metro. I think it goes down. I don't know if South Davis Metro has a lot of unincorporated county down where they're at, but they have some. There's little pockets everywhere. But they have been... The county commissioners have been really receptive, and I mean, they think it needs to be cleaned up. I think actually I can't speak for them, but Jeff Euler and them said, we need to do this across the county. It's way, it needs to be, you know, because it should really be, in my opinion, a pass-through. Like, the county shouldn't be paying Clinton to cover that with county taxes. You know, in the counties. And those people should be paying their fair share with for what the you know, to be in the district.
Yeah.
Just like they do with Hooper Water or whatever, so.
Okay.
I'll keep the board applied, and I've been working with the chair close to just weave our way through this. We may have to, I don't know if we'll have to amend this budget, but depending if we need to have a legal description and a new Mylar done, that will, we didn't budget for that, but.
What's that look like? What's that look like? What's the cost, that 30?
I wish Misty was here. probably to have an engineer do the new legal description and everything for the governor's office. I'll bet that's $4,000 or $5,000.
Less than I expected.
You know, and then that would finalize our service area, you know, and delineate between Clinton and in our service area. So that's, just thought I'd share that with the
Thanks.
Board. And
okay, so we'll keep you updated kind of how that moves along and progress with that. Anything else for the work session?
No. Not unless the board has something they want to.
Any questions then? Okay. If not, we're going to go ahead and adjourn this meeting. Did we do this by?
Yes.
Okay.
It says directly after.
So I have to, I know.
We have to end this.
Motion for
move into our next.
Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Any opposed? Thanks. Rolling into, this is going to start at 6:12 p.m. January 16th, 2025 here at Station 41. Those in attendance with us, we'll start with our online superstar, Mayor Shepherd. We got Annette Judd, Tim Roper, Rick Carlson, Nancy Small, myself, Brian Vince, Megan Ratchford, Jerry Chatterton, Mayor Wiggle. Ricky, did you not offer? Or was it Nancy?
It was Nancy.
Nancy, thank you. Nancy will offer a prayer and then lead us in the pledge tonight.
Our Father in Heaven, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for the opportunity to come together as a board in North Davis Fire District. We thank thee for all the opportunities we have in our country and for all the things that we are able to enjoy. Father, we ask at this time to please bless those that are in service. Please bless those to our country and to our surrounding cities and our own cities. Father, we also ask at this time to bless those in California. They'll feel thy love and thy comfort in this very difficult time. And bless those firefighters and those that are working to protect their lands as much as possible during this very difficult time for them. Father, again, we thank thee for all the many blessings that thou hast given us. And I say these things humbly in the name of my Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please rise and be after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing that there's no citizens here, we'll go ahead and skip citizen comment tonight. Move into consideration for approval of the minutes for the 24 December meeting. If there's any corrections or alterations, we'll discuss that now. Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion for that.
So moved.
Motion for approval by Tim.
Second.
Second by Jerry. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Next is North Davis Fire District bills for December 2024. They're included in your packet. If you've had an opportunity to look through those, any questions, we can ask that now. Otherwise, I need a motion for approval.
I've had an opportunity to review the North Davis Fire District bills for the month of December 2024, and I make a motion to approve those bills.
I'll second that motion.
Motion by Mayor Riggle, second by Megan. Any further discussion?
have one question that
one
I forgot
question.
To ask you.
Please.
The Layton City Corporation Dispatch Services FY2425 Dispatch Services for $134,000. Is that for us, them sending people to us to help, or is that revenue?
That's for us using their
dispatch. Dispatch.
That's right, dispatch 911.
Yep.
When
clear
right.
the dispatch
went
ambulance.
Away,
we all.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the only question.
Okay. And that's the annual fee.
Okay.
Any others? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Financial reports.
Just touch on a couple of things. We're on target with ambulance. Councilman Megan asked me about property taxes. We did get our large December and our large January. And you can see that it's like 90%. So we're on track. We're looking good. The only thing, that, and we worry about this every year, we're okaying employee wages. We're running short. We've had some overtime, but we're still watching really close. We've hired some more employees, and that should level out. Other than that, the finance, we're on budget.
What are you finding with the candidates that you're either not approving or approving?
I think
a good pool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's got it. Chief King will go over that in the fire chief's report, but it's actually getting kind of exciting.
Yeah.
So it's getting better, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a smile this month.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions on the financial report?
No.
Motion for that?
So moved.
Motion for acceptance by Tim.
I'll second that motion.
Second by Meg. Any further discussion?
It was
Ricky.
Oh, Ricky. Sorry. I get the voice from over there. Did you do the first one, too? Did you call Tim?
No, you called
Tim. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it was Tim.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Did you get that, Jamie? It was Ricky. Appreciate it. Fire Chief's report.
I'll defer to Chief King. We only have a couple on him.
Okay, so we finished off 2024 just shy of 4,200 calls. We were 4,185, which held pretty consistent what we've seen in the past. For the month of December, we had 218 calls in Clearfield City. We had 57 in West Point, 42 in Sunset. We went to Clinton 14 times and Syracuse 8 times. And I think it cut me off on this. I think Layton was 3 times and Kaysville 1 time. So we did go to Clinton a little more than we normally would, but that's tapered off now that they've had some restructuring over there. So we shouldn't, probably won't be going there nearly as often. We were able to conduct full-time testing, hiring this time. We changed our strategy a little bit. We were looking for 3 paramedics in the past. We weren't able to find them as we were doing testing. So this time we opted to invest in maybe some newer, greener people and be able to mold them into fitting our department a little bit better. And we felt really good. We had 8 people that we were testing. One called sick, so he couldn't come. And by the time we were done, we felt like there were 6 that we could have hired right then. And so we ended up hiring a couple of gals. There's one from Logan and one from Smithfield. And then we hired a guy that's from Layton.
He's from Morgan.
Morgan, that's right, from Morgan, that works out at the Twilla Army Depot, has 7 years experience. So we're excited. After that, our entire test team felt optimistic that we've hired great candidates and that moving forward, they're going to be good. So
cool.
We're excited for it. They Chief and I are going to meet with 2 of them tomorrow. We already made the offer to one of them, and she's super excited to be here. She had nothing but good. They, all three of them said they've been following our social media and seeing what goes on here, and that's what drew them to come, is knowing that it looked like a place that knows how to have fun but also works hard. And so I'm super excited. Our social media team's doing an excellent job getting noticed out there. So we're excited for that, and we're just looking forward to moving up or moving forward with a fully staffed crews and
part
exciting
of
year.
Just to add to that, me and Chief King have talked, and over the past, since we've stood up the paramedic program, we've had, and I came from this too, we've had more success investing in our own people. We get the commitment, the buy-in, and you guys know a lot of those, Phil, Ashley, Justin, all these that are excellent firefighters and paramedics now. And we don't rule out doing a lateral. We would do one, but we got people here that are qualified and ready to go. And so,
Yeah, we've had good success doing that. And talking with other chiefs in the area, and even outside of the area, they're leaning the same way. They're saying that there's a bulk of paramedics that went down to Unified Fire, and they've lost people, and they said that what they're having come and apply is not really a good fit for their department for whatever reasons. It's usually somebody that's been terminated somewhere for personnel issues, but they said they're resorting to investing in their own people, and it's worked well for them, and that's kind of our philosophy, is we feel like we're going to invest in our people, give back to them, they're giving to us, so we're excited.
Good.
It's going to be good.
Did you have anything else?
No, that was all I had for them.
Yeah, so that's basically all we have for today. Other than I just would like to share, I got cornered down in Orem today at the legislative session about these California fires, and they're asking me my opinion and stuff. And we talk as chiefs. The media drives me crazy.
What?
There, I mean, you can't stop that. Even if all the hydrants were full, 100-mile-an-hour winds, it's like a tidal wave or something coming. Somebody's gonna take the fall. Somebody's gonna get fired. But I don't know what. Getting people out without dying would be, I think, your number one goal, and that's about all you could do. And to be really honest with you, looking at that from afar, they're up to what, maybe 30 fatalities? They're lucky.
Yeah.
That it's only that. So our prayers go out, and the Utah EMAC system worked. We can't send an engine. We would if we had the resources to do that. It's usually the big fire departments, Provo, UFA, Draper, those. But of course we would, and we would probably be more apt to send an engine right away if it's a Utah deal. But we just don't have the resources to do that. But
would our engines meet their smog standards?
What's that? yeah, that's, the L.A. County fire chief, not the Palisades, he was right. He said, and it's just true, this is what we do here. We put four engines on a house fire, okay? They did the math. You need 26,000 engines. They don't even have that many in California. And if a tragedy is really going to happen, it should happen in California. They got Cal Fire. They could put 500 or 600 engines there pretty quick. So I don't even... I feel for them. I don't know how you can avoid that. And we ran into that with the Unifier, those of you that remember the Unifier. And you can't blame the residents. They got their garden hose out. They're trying to save their home, and we got no pressure at the hydrant at all because they're using it all. It's just a...
awful.
It's a tragedy.
Bad scenario, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got just a couple of questions.
Please.
On the training for the people that you talked about from Morgan and Smithfield and stuff, mm-hmm. Is that something that we've got budgeted, that we're, do we have to send them to training? They come in fully trained?
No, so everybody we hired came in with their, with all the certifications. There is one of the gals does need her advanced EMT, and she's already enrolled in school for it.
Okay.
So it won't come at a cost to us.
But you know, I'd like to share with her story.
Yeah.
This is pretty impressive. She's, doesn't matter her age, she's young. Okay, she found out that she needed it to get her AEMT to be able to be a firefighter, you know, and test or be that. She found out that Bridgerland, their AEMT program, gets booked up fast. Before she even applied here, she slept overnight at Bridgerland so she could be first in line to sign up for the class.
Wow.
And
awesome.
I told Kurt, those are the people we want.
Yeah,
for sure.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's the only one that will need to get her advanced, and we've done that with a handful of people here and have had really good luck. Aside from that, it's just they have the certifications, they just haven't been working at a department that gets calls and the call volume that we do. So their biggest thing is just putting them with a good mentor on our ambulance, and they'll get the training on the job as quick as anybody. So,
and I think all of us are seeing that. I mean, I was at your council meeting, and they're young. It ain't just us. I mean, we get an engine company from Layton. It's like, you know, I mean, it's everybody. And you know, we have to tell our employees, you know what, you have to mentor them, because we don't have any of those 8 to 12 year people.
Our officers and stuff are super excited about this, because not that a lateral hire isn't good or anything, but with bringing them in, we feel like we were able to, I guess, ingrain our North Davis culture, teaching them that this is a family environment, that it's okay to come to work and enjoy work, and we work hard, but we also enjoy each other as a family. And some departments, they're just not that way, and so bringing somebody that's worked at a previous department may not fit that as well. So we're excited to bring them in, and that was a lot of the comments we got in there, is they were excited from what they had seen. They wanted to be a part of this. They had opportunities to go test elsewhere and just didn't see the environment that they see here. So we're excited to bring them in. They're new, they have the training, they just don't have the experience in the field, so it's going to be a
but, you know, everybody
training.
Has to be new.
Absolutely.
All of us have to be new one time.
Somewhere. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, yep. I find sometimes it's a win-win. First of all, you're getting new blood in, that mm-hmm. also rejuvenates everybody's excitement for everything, and also for your mentors that are mentoring these newbies coming in, newbies, yes, I love that, they almost sometimes learn just as much mm-hmm. as the newbies do. So I find that it's a great way of doing it, especially for young guys that want to do this now.
Yep.
So
that, you know, the kid we swore in a couple months ago, Drew,
uh-huh.
he landed running.
He's doing great.
I mean, he is a stud.
Yeah.
Like, it's really exciting. The guys, he fit right in, and
nice.
I know he looks really young and stuff, but he's, you know.
Yeah, did you have another question?
I did. We've got one other question.
Okay.
The California wildfires at 70 miles an hour or 100 miles an hour, that's just a blowtorch.
Oh, yeah.
Just bigger or smaller. But what do we have in our area that, and I understand the brush and everything else down there and mountainsides and stuff, but out in this area, what are the concerns that you have for our fire department if something catches on fire, an apartment catches on fire, 70 mile an hour winds? What areas are of concern to you?
Well, I guess something like that could happen to us if the stars aligned. I don't know that you could prevent that, but first of all, we're fortunate enough in all the cities that we serve, we have 1,500 gallon a minute fire hydrants everywhere. We have enough water. We've had 2 and 3 alarm fires before. We have enough water. And we have enough apparatus in that type of scenario. But I guess, Jerry, if you got two or three houses going and we had 100-mile-an-hour winds, I think strategically and tactically, we would have to do like they did. We're going to make a stop here and, mm-hmm. and you know, make sure everybody's evacuated and just make a stop.
And I guess probably my question is, are there certain areas that are higher risk for that than others?
I would think our biggest risk is just probably the wetlands if it was to turn and blow the correct way. But even at that, there's still enough of a buffer there. That's the our landscape's totally different than what they're facing. Sure. A lot of what they're facing is they had a lot of overgrowth, undergrowth, all that. We don't necessarily see it in this area because everybody plants a lawn or they xeriscape, and so we don't have what they're really facing there.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any real big targets that way.
I worry more as an administrator. I think we worry more about a large hazmat mm-hmm. incident or something like that. Mm-hmm. I was driving down the freeway today and seen a tanker pulling a pup. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what am I going to do if that thing tipped over? We need like a mile and there's no water here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think our weakness would be earthquake, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
That's we're more vulnerable to something like that.
And I think you're doing a good job, a great job.
Yeah.
That's not a reflection of any sort. One of the thoughts across my mind is, what do we have that could possibly turn bad on us?
Well, and you know what? It's funny because I think as administrators too, and our officers, we look at the tragedy that happened in New Orleans. It's a prime example, okay? Same thing. New Orleans has a lot of resources. I mean, they can argue whether they should have had barriers there or whatever, but I'm actually going to stick up for public safety there. They limited that threat pretty quick. It could have been, and so my mind goes to something like that happening here. And none of the cities or us, we're going to have to call the cavalry. So we train for that, and we think about those scenarios because that can happen anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
I worked in some of those buildings on Freeport Center.
Well, there's
some of those older ones.
But you know what? They're all sprinklered.
Yeah.
You know.
True that, but man.
I know.
Yeah.
they're all sprinklered, and I mean not. I wouldn't compare. Like for example, Northrop Grumman is very proactive.
Yeah.
They're so.
You got a lot of money in there.
Yeah.
You have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose that.
Rocket scientists.
I think as far as fire, our target hazards aren't nearly as scary as like you said, our hazmat, things like that. We have potential for way worse than our fire target hazard.
But on the Wasatch Front, if you were asking me that question, Jerry, if I was the Layton Fire Chief or the Ogden Fire Chief, or the South Davis Metro, they got interface.
Mm-hmm.
They got problems.
Yeah, they do.
We just kind of don't.
Seen it.
Yeah, we.
Question for you on the West Davis corridor. Do we have an agreement like we do with Roy to cover so far south and so far north as we go over into Syracuse?
Yeah, we're going southbound way into Syracuse from 193. And I-15, and we're doing it on I-15 too now. Now that we're with Layton Dispatch, it's going to start. They're just getting ready to roll it out.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start going clear down to southbound to Antelope, and you know, vice versa. We can't do that because with Weber County yet. We should. Roy should be going southbound to the Clearfield to 650 or to 1800.
Yeah.
Okay. If they're in their station. And we should be going clear to the Riverdale or whatever. The technology is not there. It is in the Salt Lake Valley, and we are getting there in Davis County.
Okay. Sorry, I had so many questions.
No, that was good.
That county line is like a big wall. Yeah.
Well, it's always been this way, and the technology's there. It's just it used, when Clearfield had did the dispatch center, if we wanted Roy to respond, they had to physically call Weaver Dispatch, see if Roy 31 is in their station. If they are, by the time they did that, we're talking sunset, like, forget it. We're almost there now. You know what I mean? It's and it's always been that way, because I made that argument. I spent a career at Roy going to 650 North and turning around.
Any other questions for the chiefs tonight?
To backtrack a little bit on Chief King's report about us going into other agencies to help. Do we know how many come into our area to help?
I can run a report. I don't have it with me right now. I could get you the information and send you a link to it.
Okay, I'm just curious.
Yeah.
We cover our calls normally more than, you know, we go help. So, but.
Right. Yeah, so. As far as like paramedics coming in and doing transports with our ambulance, there was only three for last month. But we do, there wasn't very many ambulance calls I know coming in here, but fire, that's the problem with that report, is it'll show how many units came in here. So we had two fire calls that brought in several agencies and stuff, so it'll show that. Yeah, so it'll show that. So that, but I could get you a closer number on if their ambulance came in for a medical or if their paramedics came in. I know that there were three transports with their medics with Syracuse and everybody.
But like lately, me and Chief King met with the new chief at Clinton, and Chief King noticed, hey, just by iSpy or whatever, hey, it looks like we're going to Clinton a lot. Which is fine if they need us. We don't mind. But it's not fine if you have an engine crew sitting there and you just tell North Davis to take that call. We're not going to, you know what I mean? Yeah. Which I'm not accusing them of that. It's supposed to be reciprocal. In the district, I don't think we've ever found that it's really lopsided.
No.
If it was, other fire chiefs, everybody would be calling somebody out.
Okay. I'm going to piggyback real quick. On these 4,200 calls from 2024, do we know what the split was, medical versus fire?
I don't know. I could find out real quick for you. It's typically, we've been sitting about 78% is medical. The year before, I know we were sitting at 78%, so I would say we were probably consistent with that, but I don't know right off the top of my head.
I know some months we've been 90% medical.
Yeah.
That's what I just was
curious
at what our yearly average was.
Well, and then, Mayor, we didn't have a lot of transfers, but if we did, that would really
push that number.
Yeah.
Megan?
One, I think it's crazy that a fire department has more medical than fire. So that's like a year in review that I did not understand when I started. But also, how many calls do you know had in December were over three calls at a time?
Yeah, so it was actually not a bad one. So two calls going on at the same time. I can actually hear him pull it up right here. I've got it on this iPad.
Good.
We call those overlapping.
Overlapping?
Yeah, two calls going at the same time. I had it. That way I'm not just making it up for you.
So if we did not have the paramedics crew, then it would just be fire, then it would be a lot more quiet, or it still have EMT. They wouldn't have the paramedics.
We would have EMTs here, we just wouldn't have the paramedics. Okay. Correct. Okay, while he's looking that up, Mayor Shepherd, do you have any questions? Okay. Thanks.
Why did you wake him up?
It's like 9 o'clock.
It's late there.
It's late.
I was awake. I said turn the mic back on.
What time is it there, Mayor?
2 hours.
Let's see. 8:40.
8:40.
Pushing 9.
Oh.
Yeah, 8:40.
I was hoping he was going to go with safety. Hey, real quick, MITRE removals, are they coming out of our district, or what was that?
What's that?
MITRE removals?
They're just parts of MITRE that are not in our district.
Yet?
Yeah.
So that once Woodbury pushes the gate back, then it will be? Is that what I understand?
Yeah.
So, when there were two calls going on, that was 78 times. Three calls going on, we had 12, and we had three times that we had four calls going on, and no more than that. We didn't have five or six or anything going at the same time.
Okay, for those of us that weren't listening, could you?
No, just kidding. Yeah.
Read the recap.
So we had 78 times that we had two calls going on at the same time. We had 12 that we had three calls going on at the same time, and then three times that we had four calls going on at the same time. There were none with five or more going on for the month of December.
What's the most we've ever had?
That's hard to say, because like when we get the strong winds and we get power line calls and we get all those going, we can have like 15, 20 calls going at the same time, and not... There are calls going, but they're not really an emergency because it's an arcing power line or something.
We've had two working structures at the same time.
Yeah.
With medicals coming in at the same time, you know.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, we could.
Okay, well, thank you. Any other Friday questions for the Chiefs?
I don't have any questions. I was one of the calls, not me personally. My husband was one of the calls. And I just want to make sure the paramedic program here is stellar. I got to witness it, not firsthand, obviously. I got to witness it via video watching taking place at my house. But even the physician at the hospital, I told you I was going to say this during this meeting too.
Yeah.
The physician at the hospital was impressed with how well the paramedics got my husband's heart rate down. First of all, I didn't believe that his heart rate was where it was. And they kind of questioned the paramedics, and they sent him an image of what it was, and sure enough it was. And they said they did a stellar job, because, you know, getting him there and getting his heart rate down and getting where he was. So
he was in PV.
I don't know who the crew was, but thank you very much. Again, I said, like I said, so.
Kudos to them.
Yeah,
sure.
Very good. 300 heart rate. They got him down quick from my house to the hospital. So.
And they got it down without cardioverting him.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
They had to end up cardioverting him at the hospital, but they didn't have to do anything at the house. So fantastic.
I didn't think it went up that high.
Well, my husband likes to get
it. It's not supposed to.
It's actually beating so fast that that it won't allow the chamber to fill back up with blood.
Yeah, like VTAC going on.
You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh.
Like your valve floating in an engine.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Member city updates, do you have anything?
Have you ever been contacted by... the Wallace Stagner Foundation about the school?
Nope.
Never?
Nope. I even talked with the Deputy Fire Marshal Mike and told him what we had talked about at that last one. He hasn't heard anything either.
And I was curious, so I need to touch base with them and obviously figure out what their strategy is, because I'm sure that Mike's going to play a big part in that. But,
sure.
We finally finalized the sale of the property on 1800, and like I say, that project's coming along. But other than that, like I say, we appreciate your service.
Is there going to be a bridge over the railroad tracks?
I can't remember if I got corrected that it's not actually called a bridge or...
Overpass?
Yeah, it's an overpass. Okay. So you get on social media and you call it a bridge. Just so you know. It's an overpass, and yes, there will be. But, you know, we're excited for that project to get started. We finalized some things out that should clear the way for them to start. But I'm sure that when all of those people start showing up and all those contractors start doing their crazy stuff, we're going to see an impact of you guys coming into town for some of that as well. But those are the only two questions I had. Other than that, like I said, we all appreciate your service. Thank you.
Yeah, I believe the road starts to rise up, clear back at the White Church.
Oh, wow.
My house.
That's a long bridge.
Are you in the White Church? Is that where you live?
Yeah.
You're in the church.
Right next door. Lucky me.
Not far to walk on Sundays.
Well, we'll be able to now because we'll have an overpass.
Mayor Shepherd, anything from Clearfield?
No, I'll defer to my two counterparts there.
You got anything, Megan?
Megan. The planes are all out with the exception of yours. Did Chandra reach out to you?
Yep.
Okay, good. And then there's one other one, which I don't know exactly what the plane is, but they look fantastic. We could have them a little taller, but it's like the designs are amazing. So if you go around, you'll see them. They're popping up everywhere. Now keep your eyes out.
Okay.
And then we were going over the legislative wish list and all of the budget. So most of the stuff that we've accomplished is all numbers related.
Perfect.
Thank you.
West Point, you're going to start seeing some pop-ups from this annexation for subdivisions and development and desires. We'll see how we can control that. So. You have one more. Go ahead. Yeah.
Ogden and Clearfield were recognized for one of the new and upcoming cities because of the advancements that they've been doing. So I thought that was a really cool acknowledgement. The mayor sent it over, and it was a nice piece.
In regards to what?
One of the up and coming cities in regard to the nation.
I know, but you said due to. Just population growth.
Being progressive.
No, it's all of the advancements, all of the stuff that we've been doing. The city has advanced so much that they're now like on the new look at what Clearfield, look at what Ogden is doing. It's a good article.
Good job.
Good.
You, three. Good job, Megan.
Thanks.
Okay. Anything else? All right. We're to item 10.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn by Jerry.
Second.
Second by Annette. All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Thanks, Mayor Shepherd.